If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, and we're going to continue our series on disciple. We've had that as our theme this year, disciple. And we are going to be looking at the call of a disciple. We've seen the habits of a disciple, the love of a disciple. We've seen really the life of a disciple. But we want to really look at the call of a disciple this morning, and it's going to be very short verses, Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to do my very best to help you not do what your body naturally wants to do, and that is fall asleep. I will do my best to hopefully keep us connected and awake this morning. But Luke chapter number 5, we're going to just look at two verses, verse number 27 and verse number 28. Luke 5, 27 and 28. It says like this, it says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." Let's pray. Father, as we study your word this morning, as we see the life of Levi, as we see the work of Christ in his life, I pray that we would not only be able to see ourselves, but Father, that we would hear you this morning. I pray that you hide me behind your cross. I ask that our hearts would be open, that we might be able to not only understand your word this morning, but where we can apply your word into our hearts and into our lives. Be with us in this time in your word, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, according to a Barna Group survey conducted in 2016, about 73% of Americans identified themselves as Christians. Yet only about 31% of those that were surveyed practiced their faith by attending at least one service per month. Now, only about 17% attended a Sunday school or a small group from that 31% that attended once a month. Now, over the past few decades, this survey has proven that those that are involved, those that identify as Christians, seem to be shrinking more and more after every year. It seems like there's less and less people that really want to live out their faith and truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ. They like the title, they like the name, they like saying that they are part of something, but yet in practice, in the decisions of their life, very few are actually living out that title. Very few are living out the decision of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And as we see that happening in the lives of individuals, we see that our nation continues to be in a decline as a result. In a decline, not just economically, because the economy can go up and down as we've seen throughout the history of our country, but what has been declining pretty consistently over the last 60, 70 years, maybe even 100 years, depending how far back you want to go, we've seen that the heart towards the things of God and our society accepting the truth of God has been declining. There have been less and less people that are truly following Jesus Christ. And the question must be asked, why is that? Is it for the reason that God is no longer calling or speaking to the hearts of people? Is it because there's no more power in the Word of God that people no longer can live a victorious Christian life? Or could it be that this morning, those that identify as Christians are no longer answering the call of God in their life? Could it be that there are many that, though they hear the voice of God, and though they feel the presence of God in their hearts, have chosen to turn their ear away from Him? They've allowed the world to come in and distract them. I love that in Isaiah chapter 59, it's not in your notes, but if you were to turn to Isaiah 59 in verse number 1, you find that The prophet Isaiah, speaking to a generation that had been in decline as well from God, he says this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That same sin has separated us today. That same negligence of the voice of God is continuing today. And many are making changes in their life, not to draw closer, but to separate more from God. Kind of reminds me, to be honest, about a guy that I heard had changed his voicemail greeting on his phone. And when you called, his voicemail would answer and he would say, "I am not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. Now, I'm making some changes in my life, so please leave a message after the beep." And then he said, "Now, if I don't return your call, you are one of those changes." It seems like we are in that kind of mode today. Like God is calling on our hearts, and the change that we're making is just no longer answering God's call, no longer returning to God's ways. And because of that, our nation, our lives, our families are in decline. God has laid on my heart this morning to challenge us in the area of answering his call. You know, something that I've noticed, and probably you have noticed with me, is that the need has not declined, that sin has not declined, that the gospel and its power has not declined. The sad reality is that many have just declined to respond to God. Now, if there's ever a man that was called to respond, it was this man, Levi. Now, when you look at Levi's life, there's nothing particularly unique or special about his life. There's nothing that would really qualify him to be above everyone else around him, something that would just distinguish him in some special way. What we find when we study Levi's life is that Levi was someone that we could probably identify pretty easily with. A man that on one day when Jesus came by and into his life, everything changed. A man that upon hearing the message of Christ and believing on Christ, his life completely changed. He became a disciple of Jesus Christ that day. He's not a disciple that most people would probably recognize. I think if you talk to the average person, even if they don't go to church, they've probably heard the name Peter or John. They may even know the Apostle Paul, who is a disciple born out of time. Very few would know the disciple named Levi. Yet, Levi is the one we want to study this morning, because it's amazing when you look at Levi's life, what he did when confronted with the call of God to him. So I want you to notice this morning in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, as it says this: "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." I want you to notice this morning, if you're taking notes, Levi's occupation. Now, Levi's occupation, his job was a tax collector. He literally collected taxes for the Roman Empire. His duty was to receive the taxes from his countrymen, from the people of Israel, and then give them to the Roman officials. Now, this job was a very lucrative job. It was a job that you could make a lot of money if you wanted to do this job. And the reason that you could make so much money is because you could charge basically anything you wanted. Now, the Roman officials had a minimum of what they were charging as a tax, but their tax collectors, or their publicans as they were also known, could charge a little bit more than that. If the Roman government was going to be charging 5%, the tax collector could charge 8%. and keep the extra 3%. And if there was any issue, if there was any problem, the tax collectors had the backing of the Roman army, and they could enforce any tax that they were giving. So it was a lucrative job because nobody could tell you no at the price that you were going to give them. They all had to pay. And what we find about Levi doing this job is that he was dishonest in his work. As a tax collector, he was dishonest in his work. He could easily, and did many times, overcharge people and keep that extra money to get rich fast. In fact, most publicans and tax collectors were very rich in their community. They were known as the rich side of their community. Yet they were dishonest and everybody knew it. You know, the Bible had been very clear in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. They knew that. Every tax collector knew that it was wrong to steal. It was wrong to lie. And yet, they constantly practiced that as their lifestyle. In their work, in their job, they constantly lived a dishonest life. When you look at the person of Levi, the character that Levi had, it was a dishonest character. Levi should have been a leader in his society, a leader in his community. The name Levi isn't his first and proper name. Levi is the tribe that he was a part of. If you know a little bit about the people of Israel, you know there was 12 tribes in Israel that were God's people. And the Levites was the tribe that was separated by God after they had exited out of Egypt. And when all of the people rebelled and worshiped the golden calf, the people of Levi took a decision to be on the Lord's side. And from that day forward, God said to Moses, separate to me the tribe of Levi. They're going to be my priests. And I'm going to be their reward, and they're going to be my special tribe. All of the tribes are special, but Levi will do the work of the temple and of the tabernacle. All the Levites will do that. They will be my special possession. See, this man Levi should have been the one that was living an honest life. He should have been the one that was teaching others what the word of God said. Like, thou shalt not steal in Exodus 20, 15. He should have been the one teaching the people and living that out. But instead, he was doing the opposite. He was living a dishonest life. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 47 to verse number 50, we find that these Levites were very special. They were to do the work that no other tribe could do. They were to move the holy objects of the tabernacle, the plates and the cups, and they were to move the Ark of the Covenant and the table of showbread and the altar of sacrifice, the altar of incense. They were to move all of that. They were to take the curtains down of the tabernacle there in the wilderness and move it to every place that they were going. Only they could touch it. Anyone else that was to touch that would die immediately. And here we are years and years and years later. We find this man who's a part of the tribe of Levi. And Luke just calls him Levi. Living and doing a dishonest work. But not only do we find that his character was dishonest, he was despised for his work as well. You see, so bad was the animosity of the people against tax collectors that they were not received by the religious leaders at the temple. Nobody liked to hang around with the tax collectors. Yeah, they were really rich. They were dishonest too. And because of that dishonesty, they were despised. Nobody wanted to be seen around them. Nobody wanted to hang out with them. No one wanted to befriend them. In fact, in the feast that the whole country would participate in, they were not allowed. The tax collectors and publicans, while everyone was celebrating the Passover, they were not. Well, everybody was going to have the feast of the festivals, and they were all going to be eating and fellowshipping together. The publicans were not allowed to. The tax collectors were not allowed to. We find that Levi was a man that was despised by the people. He was known as a traitor. man of bad reputation. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus is teaching his disciples about forgiveness and how to help someone that is not going the right way, he says in Matthew 18, verse 17, he says, now if they shall neglect to hear them, if the person that is living wrong and in sin and you confront them and they don't want to hear them, you take two witnesses with you then the second time. And if they don't want to hear the two witnesses, then in verse 17, he says, then go and tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, a tax collector, publican, heathen, they're all the same. Ungodly, dishonest, despised. That's who this man Levi is. But notice this morning, Christ's offer. We see Levi's occupation, but notice Christ's offer there in verse 27. When he comes now, we see and we know what a publican is named Levi, and he's sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus comes by and says unto him, follow me. It's amazing when you look at who Levi is, it's amazing to just think about the fact that Christ went to him, the one that nobody liked, the one that everyone despised because of their dishonesty and their work. It was to him that Jesus goes to. Now, Jesus wasn't ignorant of Levi's occupation. It's not like Jesus didn't know what Levi did for a living. It's not like Jesus didn't know what kind of character Levi had. In spite of all that, Jesus' love and compassion for Levi lead him to where Levi is at. It's amazing that though Jesus had been speaking in different places at this point, going and building his ministry in this first year of declaring himself to be the Son of God, it's amazing that Levi didn't go to where Jesus was at to hear him. We find that Jesus came to where Levi was at. And notice that Christ's offer was a simple offer. It was simple to understand. The last two words of the verse say, follow me. If you have a Bible that has the red words when Jesus is speaking, you'll find that these words are in red. It's Jesus directly saying this. Follow me. It wasn't a complicated request. It wasn't a great task that he was asking him to accomplish. He wasn't asking for a money that he had to give, a large sum. No, Jesus simply said, follow me. Do you know the word follow is the Greek word akoulitheo, which means to come along the side of, to go the same way. In other words, Levi sitting there being dishonest, being despised by everyone, Jesus comes to his table and he says, akoulitheo. He says, follow me. Come alongside me. Walk with me. This request by Jesus, this invitation, wasn't something that he was offering Levi to satisfy Levi's curiosity. He wasn't offering Levi to come alongside him because he was bored or alone. That request to follow him was a choice to change his ways, to change his life. In the New Testament, there are two different uses for this word of akoulitheo. It's used to describe the multitudes in some contexts as they follow Jesus, but it's also used to describe a person becoming a disciple. You see, there are those that follow and those that follow. Are you following me? There are those that say they're Christians and then there are those that are Christians. Right? That word akoulitheo was a word that could be used in either context. Sometimes the New Testament uses it when the multitudes were following Jesus. But you'll find that many of those multitudes left from following Jesus when he quit feeding them. Suddenly, when the social programs were done with, suddenly nobody wanted to follow him. But it's also used in this context with Levi. And he's saying, Levi, follow me, come alongside me. I want you to notice that it was a simple invitation, but it did require a choice to be made. Levi had to make a decision. He couldn't be neutral in this situation when Jesus is there standing before him at the receipt of custom there, at the table where he's charging and overcharging taxes. When Jesus says, follow me, it was a direct invitation that required some sort of response. It required a choice to be made. You see, the call in Levi's life by Jesus demanded an answer. He could either accept that call or reject it. And the choice was totally up to him. Jesus would not force him to do one thing or another. Do you know, I have found the time that I have gotten the opportunity in my life to know God, I found that God really rarely forces anything in my life. He just offers. He doesn't twist my hand. He doesn't threaten me with sickness and death. He simply makes an offer. You know, earlier in this series, in this year, we learned about 3D people that had the potential to be disciples, but they declined. Jesus then forced them. Now Levi is having that same opportunity. Follow me. And it's requiring a choice from him. God is always so full of choices for us. You know, when you go back to the Old Testament, you can look at the prophet Elijah, and when God commanded Elijah to go and preach to the nation of Israel that was in decline, that was moving further and further away, you know what Elijah said? It's there in your notes, 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He said, who are you going to go with? What's your choice? People tried to stay neutral, but you can't. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua did the same thing for those that were going into the promised land. He told the people, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When the calling of God came, Joshua said, it's really up to you guys. You can choose to follow the God that brought us out of Egypt, or you can choose to follow the gods of those that we have destroyed. But it's up to you. Christ comes to Levi and he says, follow me. He gives him a choice. A choice that Levi had to make. Now, when you get to verse number 28, it says this, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. It's amazing. We see the choice that he made. You see, decisions are powerful things. Decisions can change the course of a life. In fact, I don't know who the author is that said this, but someone has said, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. And if you sow an action, you'll reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. You see, we are living today the decisions that we made yesterday. We're going to live tomorrow the decisions that we make today. And so when Jesus comes into our life and begins to call on our hearts, and say, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. Here's what I want you to give. The decision is yours to make. And that decision is a life-changing decision. You see, because we're living the blessings today from the decisions that we made yesterday. And any time that God's calling comes into our hearts, if today we decide to follow Him, if today we decide to obey Him, then tomorrow we'll reap those blessings. And then tomorrow we enjoy the rewards of following. I want you to notice Levi's obedience in this. He left all, rose up, and followed. David Livingston, the great missionary to the continent of Africa, once said, "I will go anywhere provided it be forward." God, I'll follow you anywhere as long as it's going in the direction of moving ahead and not behind. Levi's response to the call of Jesus in his life was to follow. The Bible's pretty clear on what that means. You see, it says in verse 28 that he left all for Christ. Levi was not worried about the loss of financial income that he was going to experience by following Christ. It was going to be pretty significant. He wasn't going to be able to live that dishonest life and overcharge like he'd been doing for so long. But that was okay. He wasn't even thinking about that. He wasn't thinking about, well, how many hours am I going to have to be working if I follow Jesus? I mean, what's that going to entail for me? What kind of people am I going to be around? How much of this is going to eat up my schedule throughout the week? I mean, Jesus, if I go with you, I mean, what does that really mean? Well, what am I going to have to stop doing? Levi says that he was going to leave it all. That phrase literally means to abandon totally, to cease from caring. When the call of God came into Levi's life, he left it all. You know, many times God calls us. Sometimes it's through a message. Sometimes it's through a friendship. Sometimes it's a podcast that you listen to or a radio program that you tune into. Sometimes it's a video that you see on YouTube. But God is constantly calling on us. And many times, I have to say sadly in my life, I've allowed other things to come in between God's calling and my decision. Sometimes it's, I wonder what others are going to think about this. I wonder if I sit and pray, will I be mocked? Will people look at me funny? Sometimes it's, well, if I post this, what are the comments going to say? What are the people going to do about it? Sometimes it's, I'm just too embarrassed. I don't know how someone's going to react if I tell them this or I share this with them. And suddenly, we don't answer the call because we're too scared. Because we haven't really forsaken all. You know, when Levi obeyed and answered the call, he left it all. So many times as disciples, we want a little bit for ourselves. We want Jesus, yes, but do we really have to leave all for Jesus? Man, God's important, but really, what are you willing? What am I willing to leave for Him? Like sometimes the services are important, but how important? I mean, does He really care? I mean, this book, it's important to read, but really, how important? Levi left all. I'm so thankful for those that have gone before us that have left all. You know, somebody left all to give you the gospel. Somebody left all to go to other nations and other cultures to give them the gospel. I think of this man, David Livingstone, a man that was amazing as a doctor, as an explorer in his day, somebody that was well known and well respected in his society for his education, left the comforts of England and went to the dark continent of Africa so that he might give the gospel to the different tribes and the different people that were there. He didn't go for 6 months. He didn't go for a year. He went for decades of his life. He didn't go to just visit. He didn't go to just have a small experience and get back to England. No, he gave his life to that continent. In fact, the people and the tribesmen that were impacted by the gospel because of his ministry, when they found him on his knees because he died praying, they laid him down and they cut his heart out before sending his body back to England, and they buried his heart in the continent of Africa. They said his heart was here. This was a man that left all when God's calling came into his life. And I love what he said. I put it there in your notes. He said this: "For my own part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward and healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word sacrifice. Say rather it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then for a foregoing of common conveniences and charities of this life may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice." I believe he echoes the heart of Levi as Jesus said, "Follow me," and he left all. Many would say, "Levi, you're leaving a very lucrative job. You're leaving a very well rich job, a position that's really high." I'm sure Levi would say, "I've sacrificed nothing. Temporary things to follow what matters." Every disciple had to make that choice. Every disciple that was following Jesus when Jesus was on this earth, and every disciple after. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, we see Peter had that moment. Peter began to say to him, "Lord, we have left all and followed thee." I believe that every disciple that has ever decided to follow Jesus has had to make that decision, leave it all and follow him. But not only do we see that Levi left it all, we see that he joined Christ in all he did. He rose up and followed. From that day forward, Levi's priorities changed. His purpose changed. He no longer was going to get up and go to a table of receipt and charge taxes and overcharge people and live dishonestly and be despised by others. He no longer was going to live that life. Now he was going to follow Jesus. Now he had come alongside with Jesus, and now wherever Jesus was going, Levi was going to be there. You know, it's amazing what he experienced after that. I'm sure that there were some pretty cool things and some pretty cool people that Levi met in the Roman Empire doing what he did. I'm sure he met some pretty high leaders in the Republic of Rome. I'm sure he met some pretty high-ranking generals and officials. He may have met some of the gladiators that were in the gladiator games. He may have met some pretty famous people of his day. But when he left that post, and he left it all, man, he saw some things that no one else could ever do. He saw a man heal people that were blind and made them see again. He saw cripples lowered into a house where Jesus was speaking, and that cripple get up and walk after Jesus told him, get up and walk. He saw a little boy take some 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he saw Jesus feed more than 5,000 people with that little lunch. Why? Because he followed. Because he left all, and he rose up, and he followed. Do you know when a disciple follows Jesus, he sees things that only Jesus can do. You see the miracle of people that are living in sin receive salvation and change. You see the miracle of families that are breaking apart coming back together. You see people that are in the depths of addiction and depression overcome and be happy and joyful and live free. You see that when you leave all and you follow. We find that the calling of God came to Levi, person we could probably all identify with. Person living in sin, with no hope, with no joy. We see Jesus come to where he was. And he tells him, follow me. And he left all, followed him. How about you today? What is Jesus calling you to do? You say, oh, Pastor, I've heard Jesus call for salvation, and I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I say, praise the Lord for that. And if you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and accept him as your personal Savior, today's the day to make that decision. By far, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. But you see, the calling was more than just making a decision to accept Jesus as his Savior. The calling is to follow him, to join him by his side and walk with him. And as you walk with him, he asks you to do things. You see, I don't know exactly, the Bible's very general when it says that when he fed those 5,000 with those small fishes and 5 loaves of bread, he said he had his disciples go and organize the people in groups of 50 and 100. You know who was in there? Levi. He said, all right, everybody, gather up. Let's get in a circle here. We're gonna have groups. Jesus is making food. When the blind people were asking for Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, hear me, help me. You know what? Levi had the privilege every once in a while to grab somebody the hand and say, hey, I know Jesus. Let me take you to him. Come here. All along the way, there's different things that Jesus asked Levi to do. As disciples this morning, Jesus is going to ask you to do something. It might be do something at work for him. Or do something in your family. I don't know. The question isn't, is Jesus going to call me to do something? The question is, will you follow when he does? Will you obey and follow his calling? Or will you not? In 1883, C.T. Studd went to hear an evangelist by the name of Dwight L. Moody speak. As Brother Moody preached the message, the soul of C.T. Studd began to be stirred afresh. He was already saved, but he had been declining in the decisions that he had made after. And being challenged by Moody's preaching, he began to feel the calling of God in his life. Immediately, he began to tell others, friends and families and co-workers of what Jesus had done for him. Later in his life, God called him to go to China. And C.T. Studd decided that he would answer the call. He sailed to China and helped Hudson Taylor in his ministry there. He learned Chinese. He began to eat Chinese food. He began to dress and engulf himself in the Chinese culture. And began to lead people in that country to Christ. He was 25 years old when he went. His dad and his family was a family that was really well off. C.T. Studd himself was a professional cricket player. Made good money. And at age 25, his dad, who was a rich businessman, said, at the age of 25, my will go into effect and you will get your inheritance. It was a large sum of money, and C.T. Studd knew that that was coming. But in his walk with Christ, and as he heard God's calling in his life once again at that time, he decided to obey what was the impulse that God was telling him to do, and that was to give his fortune away. He wanted C.T. to rely completely on him. And C.T. Studd would later say that he was sure that God would bless him 100-fold in non-monetary ways to provide him sufficient money to live on. In fact, he is quoted as saying, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. So he started to write out checks, and he wrote a check, a rather large check, to George Mueller in the orphanage that he had in 1887. After giving away all that he could, he had about 3,400 pounds left over. So he decided he was going to give that to his fiancée, Priscilla. But you see, Priscilla had been moved by God as well, and seeing the example of her future husband, C.T., she decided that she was going to give away all of that money as well. And she said, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go to China. We'll just leave this fortune behind and God will provide for us. Naturally, after that, of course, they did struggle financially. There were times when it was tough for them to get through a week. But according to their biographies, they say that God always supplied. There was always food on their table, they said. There's always God supplying something for them that they needed. They never went without, though they gave away all of their fortune. Shortly after that, Priscilla got sick and they went back to England. Being in England, her health continued to decline, and she got to a point where she was invalid. She couldn't move. And yet, God's calling on CT's life came again, and this time it was to go to the continent of Africa. So C.T. answered the call and he left Priscilla behind. For many years, he stayed there in Africa working with the people there. Priscilla eventually did get a little bit better and she went to join him but died a year after. And a few years after she was gone, then C.T. Studd also had health issues and eventually died with heart problems. But before he died, as he reflected on all that God had done in his life, he wrote this poem. He wrote two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes. Only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. One life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. The still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. For only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I'll know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has burned out for thee. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I want to challenge you this morning. Leave it all and follow him. There's only one life to do it. And only when we follow him will it matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Thank you for this man, Levi. That Father, as he was one day, we also were lost in our sin, away from you. Father, you came. You came into our life. You offered that which was the greatest invitation we could ever receive, the invitation to accept you as our personal Lord and Savior. Father, what a great decision, what a great joy, what a great opportunity that we had to receive your salvation. We thank you for that wonderful salvation. But this morning, we don't want to stop just knowing that we have a home in heaven. But we want to follow you. Father, there are many things that you're going to challenge us with and call us to this year. I pray that as disciples, we would choose to follow you and not leave your side, not even for a moment. Help us to overcome the temptation of the devil and to not succumb to the desires of this world and to the philosophies of this world. For as C.T. Studd once wrote, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Help us to follow you, Father. Help us to answer your call every time that we hear your voice. Lead us, I pray. As the piano plays, perhaps this morning you're here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor? There's some things that God's calling me to. And some I don't really quite understand yet, but he's asking me to do it. Pastor, would you just pray for me that I would answer the call and by faith do what God's calling me to do? I don't know how it's all going to work out, but but I want to leave all and follow him. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Just raise your hand and say, just pray for me. I just want to answer God's call in my life. God bless you. Anyone else that says, just pray for me. In this year, as God speaks to my heart, just pray for me that I'll be sensitive to answer. Anyone else? Say, just pray for me. Buddy. Father, this morning, you've seen our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us now, strengthen us and fill us with your spirit that we might follow you and all that you are calling us to do. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.